John Walden here. We're glad you joined us. Hope you're enjoying this study of the book of Ephesians as much as I am. We're in chapter 3 now, and we're going to begin with verse 13. In chapter 1, we saw how much God had done for us in salvation. And in chapter 2, we saw how unworthy we were of all this, and yet how wonderful God has been to reach down to us. And in chapter 3, he introduces us to the great mystery of the church and shows us what God is doing in the present time and what wonderful blessing he has brought to all of us who put our trust in the Lord Jesus. There are two prayers in the book of Ephesians. One we already have looked at in chapter 1, and this is a prayer for knowledge, a prayer that we might know what God has for us. And of course, you're not going to enjoy God's things unless you know what he has done for you. There are some Christians who talk about hoping that they'll get to heaven at last. Well, they certainly don't know what God has done for them. They're far better saved than they have any idea, if they're saved at all. Now, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you should be anxious to know the many spiritual blessings that he has already given us in Christ. And the prayer that we're going to study today in the third chapter is a prayer for the enjoyment of all of these things which God has given us in the Lord Jesus. We're told that our blessings are given to us through the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer in chapter 1 and verse 17 was addressed to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, while the one in verse 14 of the third chapter is addressed to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, fatherhood tells us of relationship. All are not the children of God. The universal fatherhood of God is not taught in the Bible. Some people have not been born into God's family and are not God's children in the spiritual sense. And if you have received Christ, you have a new relationship, and God is your Father, and you should be anxious to maintain happy fellowship with your Father. The relationship will never be disturbed, but the fellowship may. Now he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The bowing of the knee is a mark of humility, but it's also a mark of confidence. He comes to the Father because he expects. And I hope that you expect something. I hope that you too pray this spiritual and scriptural prayer. Notice that this prayer is not for temporal mercies. Most of us, especially here in America, are preoccupied with things. We seem to think that the blessings of God are merely the daily mercies which he gives to all his creatures. Well, this is not what he wants you to enjoy at all. When you think of blessings, you ought not to think of things that can be bought with money, things that have to do with the comfort of your body, but you should be thinking about our relationship to God himself. Further, this prayer is not even for spiritual blessing, because he told us plainly in chapter 1 and verse 3 that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. It is rank unbelief to pray for some things. It is unbelief to pray for Christ to come and put our sins away. He did this 2,000 years ago. It is unbelief to ask for the Holy Spirit to come down, to indwell us, to baptize us, to teach us. The Holy Spirit is here. It is unbelief to ask God to bless us with all spiritual blessings. I've heard this prayed, but it isn't a scriptural prayer. The prayer is that we might know these things in chapter 1 and in chapter 3, that we might enjoy our present possessions. In the Old Testament, Israel failed to enter into the blessings that God had for them. They only possessed about 10% of the land that God said would be theirs. Now, enjoyment of our spiritual blessings is possible by three things. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his grace to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Three things that God has done to make this enjoyment possible. First of all, the riches of his glory. God the Father, who is rich in glory, and glory, you know, means simply manifested excellence. God loves to show us his glory. He wants to share with us his glory. And because of his riches in glory, He has done everything that is needed to bring us into the enjoyment of his glory, now as well as in eternity. And then it is done through the strengthening by his Spirit in the inner man. It is absolutely impossible for the natural man, the unsaved man, to enjoy spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. But you and I who have received Christ as Savior have the Holy Spirit indwelling, and by means of the strengthening with might by his Spirit in the inner man, it is possible for us to enjoy these great and wonderful things. A little child can't enjoy the plans of his earthly father. But as he gets old enough to understand, and as he gets better acquainted with his father, and as he spends time with him, he may learn more about these plans and begin to enjoy them. Then the third part of this prayer is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You see, God wants us, by means of the indwelling Christ, to enjoy what we have in him. The Spirit of God always occupies believers with Christ. He never occupies us with ourselves. When someone tells you that he's received the blessing of the Spirit, and then he begins to talk about himself, you know that he's missed it. The Spirit of God always occupies us with Christ. Now in John 14 and 23, we're told that if we love the Lord and keep his words, that he and his Father will come and make his abode with us. So it is possible to have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of Christ. This is how we enjoy what God has for us. So you see, we have the Trinity working together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working together in salvation in chapter 1, working together to bring us into the church in chapter 2, and working together to bring us into the enjoyment of all that we have in Christ in chapter 3. Now, enjoyment entails three things. In verse 17, he says, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded means established. He wants us to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that he loves us. If you question the love of God, you're not going to enjoy anything. If you say, well, I just don't know whether the Lord loves me or not, then you're going to be continually at sea. Well, you say, how about these circumstances? Well, my brother and sister, don't judge the Lord by your circumstances. Judge the circumstances by the Lord. Say, well, I know that these circumstances are for my good because my Father loves me and he wouldn't do anything that would be harmful to me. I know it's hard to do this. We forget. We get our eyes off the Lord. But this is absolutely necessary. If you're going to enjoy God's blessing, you've got to believe unwaveringly in his love, rooted and grounded in love. You believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, don't you? Well, do you believe that God loves you just the same one day as he does another, and that this love will never change? The Lord Jesus said, the love that the Father had for me is the same kind of love that I have for you. Now, this entails also the comprehension of the purposes of God. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now this is not of the love of God. That's right in verse 19. But this is to understand the breadth and length and depth and height of all of God's plans and purposes. That's what this chapter is about. So you see, if you are to really enjoy these things, you have to realize how big the whole plan is. You must realize that God never planned anything small for his children at all. You must realize that God has done the very best for us. This will lead you into the enjoyment of your blessings in Christ. And the third thing is to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with, or filled into, the Revised Version says, filled into all the fullness of God. You couldn't be filled with it any more than you could fill your little tin cup with Lake Superior. But you can be filled into all that God has, and so being established in love and comprehending his purposes and being completely satisfied with what he has for us, we'll be happy Christians. Is it any wonder that he ends this chapter with a doxology and says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Is it any wonder that he praises? A heart that's filled with what with the Lord and what the Lord has done for us will be a heart that's filled with praise. If you really knew how much God had done for you, and you were enjoying it a little more than you are, you'd be a little less grouchy and a little more thankful. Of course, if you haven't believed the love of God at all, if you haven't taken Christ as your Savior, then there's no praise in your heart for the Lord, any more than just a perfunctory following a kind of a ritual. But those of us who know the Lord, we say, now unto him be glory in the church. Notice that this praise is to the Almighty, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. This is true, of course, in everything, but here especially it has to do with the leading us into this enjoyment. God is able to do it. He can make you a much happier Christian than you've ever been if you would just be occupied with the Lord's things and believe him and thank him. Notice that this is never-ending glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. God has begun a work. He's going to complete it, and he will never let us go. And he ends this chapter and this section by saying, amen. And I say, amen, too. Our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. And we thank thee for the enjoyment of these things and pray that thou lead us into it more and save the lost for Jesus' sake. Amen.